Okay, so we don't have so much time this morning, but it is Yom HaShoah, so I figured we should do some limud that would get us in the mindset. So Rav Ashri, or Ephraim Ashri, was the Rav of the Kovno ghetto during the Holocaust, World War II, and he wrote several volumes of tshuvot of questions that he received during the Holocaust. Each tshuva, in addition to obviously the halachic issue, is reflective of the complexity and the pain of the circumstances that they were facing. So I figured what we should do is take a tshuva from Rav Ashri that relates to a sugya that we spent time on. So, you know, we can get an idea. Like, when we did the sugya, we did, like, the lamdos and even the halacha lamaisa. So we did it in a normal context. But then, sort of seeing how a sugya like that can be reflected through a difficult situation, I think will, you know, both sort of enhance our limud a bit, but also give us a bit of a perspective on Yom HaShoah. So I looked quickly through Rav Ashri, and this was a sugya we spent a lot of time on, was the prohibition of going into a church. The question that he was faced with was, okay, remember we talked about, can you go into a church? Is it Yehareg Val Yavor? Right? Remember all those right things? Well, we dealt that mostly theoretically. Rav Ashri, as you can imagine, writing during the Holocaust, this is not theoretical. So I figure this is a good chazara on that sugya. Well, also, one of the things that's I wouldn't say nice, that's the wrong word. One of the things that's meaningful about Rav Ashri's tshuva is, again, that in addition to the sugya that you get, the way he asked the question and describes the metzius, you get a feel for how difficult things were during the Holocaust, so you do get in that mindset. You also, I think it's important to remember that halacha, right, when people are going through pain, halacha has to respond also, right? Poskim have to respond, right? Halacha has to respond to whatever situation you're in, right? Good or not, right? So the same types of principles that dealt with, you know, Max's Shilov, can he go to the Sistine Chapel when he goes on his nice luxurious vacation to Italy, right? The same sugyot are relevant when Rav Ashri is asking whether you can go into a church to save somebody's life in the middle of the Holocaust, right? Right? The same halacha, but obviously the mindset that a posek has to be in to answer one Shilov is
a different,
I would think, different than the other one.
Aren't
so
the rules of halacha apply to war a little different than apply to
Yes, but this is not. I mean, they're not in the war. It's a pikuach nefesh shaila. But right. Remember, but this is one of the cases where pikuach nefesh, because we're dealing with potential avodah zarah, also wasn't so neat.
Right.
So anyway, I figured we read through one tshuva again. It'll be chazara, but we'll get into. Okay. So this is the question. When we were in pain and captivity, closed, skurimu mesugarim, right? In Hebrew, you double things when it's very, very much. Follow me. Follow inside. Come on. You're locked in the Kovno ghetto. And our eyes are wasting away at the sight of watching our brothers and sisters who are being taken to slaughter like lambs. In the death camps and in the concentration camps, and particularly our pain is for the children and infants. Shemipihem yasad surenu oz Israel, from their mouths God, right, established our strength. And now they are being slaughtered in the hands of an enemy, of a cruel enemy who knows no mercy. So in order that the embers of Israel should not be extinguished, that we should have a name and a remnant left over at the end of this, you know, at the end of this hell, right? Many people were forced in order to save their young children from these butchers of people. Through many different schemes, bar yeladim min hagetto vilimsoro tam biyad nochrim shishmuro tam yishkechu aleihem ad beit bo moed shabala rachamim yirachem alamo. So one of the things they did was they gave their children over to non-Jews to watch them until God, who is merciful, should have mercy on his nation, v'yomar lemashchit, and should tell the destroyer heref, right, stop, l'tzartenu yomar die, and say enough to our suffering. Right, so again, right, just from the Shaila, right? You, like,
yeah. Right,
but again, one of the things that you said, are we doing the Holocaust? You know, we're learning about the Holocaust. The answer is yes, right? You read Rav Ashi's Truvot, and it's not just the halacha there, right? You're like, you want to cry as you read the Shaila. And then he says in the next paragraph, and this is where we get to the halachic issue. Some of our children were given over to priests. They were put in the churches, or they put in the monasteries, with the hope that they could support these young children by keeping them within the
church.
You know, yeah, exactly.
The Jews weren't converted in this sense, were they?
Vinei. Miyad la'achar ha'shichur, samnet libin alein of tapin. But what do you do immediately? Right? Right now, again, now when they gave them to the priest, they hoped, right, that they would, right, they wouldn't convert them to Christianity, right? They would educate them and, you know, they would save them, but not, you know, obviously. But what happened? As soon as after the war, right, after the, as soon as, what happened after the war, right, the first thing you want to do is find your children. Right? Meantime, they were educated in Christianity, right, as Christians. But the first thing you want to do is find them, save them, and bring them back to Judaism. So they won't be distanced from God, right? But many of them are in the hands of priests. You have to find the priests in their homes and in their churches to convince them to give the children back. Right? Again, right? The Shaila, you know. Okay? So this was the context. Right? This wasn't Max's Sistine Chapel, and this wasn't the voting booth in the church, right? Parents said, I can imagine asking the Shaila, am I allowed to go into the church to ask the priest to give me back my child? Or am I not allowed to go back, or am I not allowed to go into the church? Because it's also to go into a church. Right? This was the Shaila.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you have probable cause.
Right? Nakanami, but remember.
It still might be Yeharog for the
Yah. Right?
Yehareg, sorry.
Right?
It still might be Yeharog.
Remember, we talked about this, right? Can you go into a church and save yourself, right?
Lo pashut. Well, it's common for people who gave their children to the churches, so they would come back and get them.
Oh, good, so you guys are already thinking, right?
It's like when it was not like that case where it was common for them to go into the church to be saved. But
good. So now you guys know some of the makaris he's going to have to quote. Very good. Right?
We did learn something.
So he says, Lirot, Im Yesham Yaldei Yisrael. He said, can we go in, look for the children? Now, again, you want to know how painful it was. He says, it's not just to get the children. You're not knocking on the door and saying, oh, I'm here, can I have my child back? The priests saved their lives, but look, they converted them to Christianity now. They don't want to give them back.
Right.
They deny that they're there. Right?
Are you allowed to go in? And
right, but again, now we'll go back and forth between the halacha here and the pain, right? And sort of learning about the Holocaust. Toch kedei, he said, right, this was one of the tragedies after the Holocaust, is that you gave him over to families who thought that, look, I saved their lives and I saved their soul. Right, a devout Christian, a priest, said, look, I saved this child, but I didn't just save his life; I saved his soul. Now his parents want to come back to me. I'll take care of him, but I'm not going to give him back. I've saved him. I've raised him as my own the last few years. I'm going to give him back and give him back to these, to non-Christians. I'm going to give them to Christ killers, right? Whatever, right? Whatever they thought of, you know, right? Right? This was a tragedy, right? You know, sometimes we forget this. It's like, oh, the Holocaust finished in 1945, right?
They were still
no, right? The consequences, right? The fallout what people were still grappling with afterward. He's saying, right, these are people, they know their children are alive. And the priests are hiding them now, right? Now the people, you know, imagine how you feel, right? I gave my child to this priest to save his life. And now that's the reason I can't get him back. And maybe he will be raised as a Christian and I'll never see him again, right? And I don't even know because they're not telling me the truth. Right? Meaning, right? Ad kedei kach, right? I mean, there's a terrible shayla, right? And he says, and he said, it's worse. It's not like the children are going to go find the parents. Some of them are younger. They don't know what happened. They don't remember, right? They've been raised here from birth or from little kids. And he said, it's so hard, because what's going to happen? He said, even if I get in and I find children, how am I going to know which ones are which? The little kids don't necessarily remember who their parents are. They don't know that they were adopted. They don't know if they're Christian children. They don't know if they're Jewish children, right? Meaning, how many layers is it, right? The priests are hiding them. The kids don't remember,
right? You might not recognize your kids.
You might not recognize your kids, right? Meaning, right? Again, right? Like I said, you read this Shaila and you understand what's going on. Maybe it's really usher to go in because, right? Because think about it, right? It could be it's, you know, pikuach nefesh, right? But maybe it's usher to go into church even in case of pikuach nefesh. But maybe it'd be mutter to save a child, but maybe you won't succeed because maybe there's no child there. And maybe if he's there, he won't agree to come because he doesn't know who you are. Right? Meaning, it's right? The dafka, what makes this so painful is that, right? Maybe it's not so simple to go in because it's going to be so hard to succeed. So for what am I going to church? I'm going to hang out there and find children who might not come back with me anyways. Maybe that doesn't justify it. Maybe only a father would justify it. Right? Come on. And he says, maybe it's usher to even go to the house of the priest. Right? Sometimes their house is attached to or next to the church and it's also filled with icons. And sometimes they do worship there, right? They bow, they bring incense, right? In the house, right? Sometimes, you know, like the church is their house is the overhead, overflow shtibol.
Doesn't this fall into the sugya of bringing idol worship into your house?
Well, no, this is the priest's house. You're going to the priest's house.
Right, that's why.
But this is the sugya on Yud Bet, right? Right? I mean, we did the sugya, right? You'll see in a second. Right, with Frad, Beito, Haya, HaKomer, this line like kills me. Right? He said, and the house was used as a Christian school for those children. So maybe, right? Meaning it's adding insult to injury. I can't go into the house. Maybe I can't go into the house of the priest because the house of the priest became a Christian school, right, a base medrash for Christians, which made it a base avodah zarah, which makes that I can't go in there, but it became a base avodah zarah because they were educating my children for Christianity in that school, right? So I was asked, can I go into the church or to the house to prevent these children from being lost to Judaism? Right, or from Judaism to Christianity.
You can't necessarily prevent for every time if you're a baby. You didn't
good, so this is the Shaila, right? You understand. Right, this Shaila, you want to learn about the Holocaust here, right? Here is a lesson in the fallout, even afterwards, the manage the people to survive, right? Even the people survived, right? The way it tore apart their families, right? In ways that were not necessarily repairable, right? But again, another thing I want to raise is that what's incredible is, you know what's incredible to me? Is that people bothered asking a Shaila. Right? Think for a moment, imagine when the parents, right? Right, the parents, right, these parents who've been hoping their kids are alive for years, right, while they're in Auschwitz, right, and managed to, you know, climb out of there alive,
right?
Now, what's their first thought? Can I find the rabbi to ask him, am I allowed to save my child?
Oh, what is the first one? What
right? No. What is it? I'm saying, what is the evidence?
Asking a question.
Right? Meaning, most parents, their first thing is, let me find my child.
Right?
I mean, that's clearly their first thought. But most people, I think, or many people, their thought would be, let me find my child, whatever it takes, I'm going to get him.
Right.
Right? Their thought isn't, let me ask a rabbi.
If it's okay.
If it's okay. These parents, right, the Holocaust didn't shake their amuna, right? That what they do is they find a rosary and they said, what can I do? Or do I have to leave my children and never know what happened to them? Or leave them to be Christians, or leave them so they never even know if they're Christians, or alive, or dead, or right,
right.
You have to like stand in awe for a moment at the right. Like you have to stand in awe at the fact that anybody bothered asking this Shaila. Right. Like it's astonishing that somebody
years of hell. Then.
Correct. That they go to Rav Asher and they say, "Is it mutter?" Right, whatever you tell us.
There's obviously a certain amount. People, the Holocaust either changes a person to be more religious or not.
Correct, but I'm saying you have to stand in awe at the fact that there were people whose amunah was not shaken or was strengthened or whatever, such that even when clearly all they ever want to do is
get their children.
Get their children.
Yeah.
Can we stand, by the way, in silence for the sun when the siren goes off?
We'll stand. Wait, if we can hear. Apparently it's hard to hear, so when it's almost 10, just tell me, because then we got to open the door.
It's 45 right now.
What?
It's 45 right now.
That's not the right one. We're not standing for that one.
Just get some.
Come on.
After all of Ben is mine, I didn't bother fixing it.
And Shmuel David just left. Let me text him.
All right.
Cooking.
It's like, are we waiting for the Holocaust siren? No, we're waiting for the eggs to set off.
but no one has anything to cook with. This is literally a fall.
I don't know what's going on. But I smell smoke.
You smell? I don't have my nose.
Yeah, I also did. That was very weird.
I smell smoke. It must be the toaster. You want to check the toaster? Check the toaster.
Ow.
Oh, it's done. Okay, it's done. It's done.
It's done, but it's not actually being set
first. I don't know. Whatever. It's done. Okay, yalla, guys.
It does smell like fire.
So unplug. It was from the toaster? If it's from the toaster, just unplug it. Oy vey. Wonderful.
It's not the fuss siren.
No. Good to be back, guys. Good to be back. Yosef.
Yella.
Come on. I don't know. Okay. Good. So now, the tshuva. Yeah. I don't know. I think this is a good idea for what to learn on Yom HaShoah. Okay. Tshuva. So, b'masechet Avodah Zarah, daf Yud Bet. Right? Now you guys should know some of these makaras, so it's Chazara Toch Kedei. But now it should take a little bit of a different... You should see it through a different lens. Right? Tanu Rabbanan. Ir Sheish Ba'avodit Kol Chavim Asrul Yikanes L'Tochom V'Midoch Alir Acheret Yerir Meir. Right? A city that has... We might even have touched on parts of this shuva. I don't think we looked at it inside. We looked at it as part of the sugya then. But now, anyways. A city that has Avodah Zarah, you can't go into it. V'lomi Tochali Yer Acheret Yerir Meir. And the Chachamim say, as long as the road goes to more than one place, so then you can, right? You can follow the road. Good. Then we got Yashav Lo Kotz Bifnei Avodah Zarah. Remember all these cases, right? If you have a thorn in your foot, Lo Yishav Eid Lenem Ibnation Erek Vishtachav Elo Avodah Delilim. So you can't bend over to get the thorn because of Avodah Delilim. Okay, so what we're doing is, this is a sugya we did earlier, is going into churches. So this is Rav Ashri's tshuva. You missed sort of the painful tshuva, but he was the Rav of the Kovno ghetto, and he was asked whether, right, people who gave their children over to Christians or priests to save their lives, and now the priests are hiding them and not telling them whether they exist, and they're not even sure if they are there because the kids don't remember who their parents are because they were so young. Are you allowed to go into the churches to save them, or is that usher? Because where you can't go into the church, it might be able to, right, part of Zara, it might even be Bikuch Nefesh, you can't violate it, right? Is it mutter in this case, compounded the fact that, right, it's not necessarily mutter to do things related to Avodah Zarah, even for Bikuch Nefesh, and in this case, it's suffix, would they be able to find the children anyway, right? So this is a Holocaust trial that relates to our sugya. Okay. And as the point we made before is, first of all, right, understanding the right the fallout of the Holocaust even afterwards, right, and the to stand in awe of the emuna of these people that they bothered asking that shayla and not didn't just go and try to find their children. Okay, so. He says, right, and then right, you have the three cases. Remember in the Gemara, the thorn in the foot, the money that fell on the ground,
and the water fountain.
And the water fountain. Right, and in each of them, the halacha was what?
You can't bend down while you're in a place of Odazara, near a place of Odazara.
Right, you can't, you can't do it in any of these cases.
Right, wasn't there also
right? And he says, so what? And remember, right? So what was the Gemara's conclusion? That in all these cases, it's usur if, unless it's clear that you're not worshiping Avodah Zarah, right? Meaning,
right?
That was the upshot of the Gemara, right? Is that as long as these things create a situation of maris ayin, then even b'chadre chadarim it would be usur, right? Even a private would be usur. But if what you do doesn't look like Avodah Zarah, then you could do it.
Right.
Right? So if instead of bowing, right, you'd sit down on the floor and pick up the money, whatever. Bid you. Okay. So that was Sugya 1. Right? Was Daf Yud Bet, which talked about the potential Maris Ayin cases, which are also even Bikuach Nefesh. Okay? Good. Is he calling? Or what?
You know. I have no
clue. Like, I don't even have my phone's charging. I don't know what it means. Okay. That was Sugya 1. The second sugya was on Tetzayin Amud Bet. That was the problem of right, the issur of going into a Beit Minut, right, going into a house of heresy, right. That's the next paragraph. O Garcinan, Tana Rabbanan, Kishenit Bazir Lozal Minut, Elei Lugardom, Lidon Amalodo Egmon, Zaken Shem Kumotcha Yasok Bidvarim Betelim Halalu. Right, remember this case, right? Rabbi Lozar was captured by the Romans for having gone into a Beit Minut, which was probably a church, right? Because both the Jews and the Romans didn't like the Christians at that point because they viewed them as traitors, right? So he was accused of going to a church and being a rebellious Christian by the Romans. And last minute, he got saved.
Romans were, what religion did Romans follow?
They were pagans.
Pagans.
Okay. Yes, later they accept Christianity as the official religion, but not at this point. So I'll just say the story outside because we learned this, right? So what happened? Last, right, he says to Elazar, how could someone as great as you get caught up in this mess? And he says, Neman alai dayan, the judge is believed. I trust the judge, right? Which he meant, look, whatever God does, God does. But the executioner understood it as, oh, you have so much trust in me that even as I'm about to kill you, you don't question my authority. So what did he do?
He let him go.
And then he goes home, and what happens? He's really upset because he says, "What did I do wrong that God made me get
go into
right?"
House of heresy.
No, I didn't go into it. He never got in. He was accused of it. But he said, "What did I ever do wrong? Right? I'm a good, upstanding rabbi. Why is it the Romans captured me and accused me of being involved in presumably Christianity?" Right? Well, what sin did I do that God made that be my punishment? Right? So what did I do? No, 1 second. Remember the story? So Rabbi Kiva says to him, well, did you ever enjoy anything about Minut? And again, in the better Girsaot of this, it's, right, did you ever enjoy anything from Christianity? Minut is usually Christianity in the Gemara. Did you ever hear anything, benefit from Christianity in any way? And he says, yeah, I once ran into this Christian, or in some version, either a Talmud of Jesus or whatever, right? A Talmud, probably, or it's a Christian, came over me, and he taught me this drasha in a pasuk, and I liked it. I thought it was a good vort. And Rabbi Kiva says, you liked what that Christian told you. Boom! That's why God punished you.
Wait, the Christian didn't say things about Azar, did he?
No, it was Torah.
It was Torah.
Right?
Okay.
It was... So just go to the top of Kofayin Tet, right? And he says, look down, and he says, and this, from here, right, and this is Usher, because we have a prohibition of harchek me'alecha derechecha zuminus. Right, the Pasuk of Mishlei says, distance yourself from this, right? And the Valtikra Pesach Beisan, don't go near its house. So the Gemara understands this as a prohibition of coming in contact with heresy, right? And Avodah Zarah and all its related, all its, you know, sort of derivatives, and forbade what? Also coming in contact with Arayot, right? That was the issue of going in near a brothel. That was how we got into all the Nagia issues, right? Same sugya. Right, remember that? Remember how many weeks we spent on this topic?
I was wondering actually, in terms of finding a topic, is there more to the whole beach thing?
We spent 3 weeks.
We spent it on Nagia, on the issue with women together, not the
Nagia, Histaklut, Machshav. Hear her. I asked,
wondering if there was more to the beach. We did the beach party in one of those days,
and we built up the sugya for 3 weeks.
Yes.
What else would you like me to say?
I'm just wondering if there's more, that's all.
You might be walking on the sand and get sand stuck in your feet, and then continue walking Arbamas Bishisarabim. It'll be considered. What do you want? I don't understand. You want me to come up with Isurim?
It's more like just going to beaches still.
You can go to a nice separate beach in Israel. Go enjoy.
Yeah. I went to the beach in Ashdod over in Havana.
It wasn't separate. It was also a non swimming beach, and it was like 65 degrees. So everyone was, you know, 90% of it was Hasidish and Bekesha. So it was mutter. It was very nice. I was with the Hasidic cousins in Ashdod. Anyways, from this Gemara, we learned the prohibition of. What time is it?
It's almost 5:02.
Okay, so we have like 2 minutes. We'll just open the door so we hear the siren. And from here, we learn that you also have to distance yourself, right? So there's the Mars Ayin Sugya, and then there's the separate prohibition of getting involved in Avodah Zarah B'chlal, right? Both of which prohibit going into a church. Those were the two main Yisurim that we saw. And plus the third Yisur that we had seen, which was that you aren't allowed to benefit from Avodah Zarah going in. You benefit from the physical structure. Okay. So he says, "V'ayin v'shod chayim biyat." Simin nun vav. We've seen this tshuva. Shikaz lochid the kol shekain nu the also lekanas lebayit sheisham avodah zarah shezu bavaday asur. Right? If it's usher to go near, benefit from avodah zarah, obviously it's usher to actually go into the church itself. The avol gav de bizman hazeh leko de avodah zarah k'mach kozav posim in kamed varim zerak lekabei agoyim shebizman hazeh shirak masav sem biyadem. And even if you think that nowadays there's no real avodah zarah because the non-Jews just, you know, worship by rote. Remember Tosfos, beginning of Avodah Zarah? These are also good, you should remember, this should be good chazara for you. Right, that maybe the Christians aren't mamish over the Avodah Zarah because Maisevosem Yodeim, or because of the Ramah, that they're not, right? That was only for Jews.
The Christians we have now.
That was only for Jews, I mean, sorry, for non-Jews. But from the vantage point of Jews, meaning they're still doing Avodah Zarah, right? From our perspective, meaning we can't do what they do, for us it would be Avodah Zarah. Right, meaning even if you pass like the Ramah, or even if you pass like Tosfos, right? And therefore the Chaim Biyad, again, I mean, I'll go through this a little bit outside, says that for sure you can't go into their house, right, of worship. Because as a din avodah zarah, right? Meaning even, again, even if the Christians who are worshipping there are not the most devoted Christians, still, it stands for avodah zarah. It's right. It's clearly the bearer of a idolatrous tradition. Okay. So he says, "Lachene aleshe b'hai uvda shekam Yisraelim nechzul lebet yiratam lechodas arash v'avodai eliyudim asur shloka torah." And the question he had been asked was, "People have gone into the church out of respect for the government," and he says,
"No,
that was terrible, right?" So this was one of the classic sources we saw, that it's usher, therefore, based on the sugya, to go into a church. You want to just hold up just to make sure that door is open, so we'll hear the siren. Yes, open it up, and we'll, because you said the basement, you don't really hear the sound otherwise.
These are getting into different cases. Usually, like, we're getting now part of the Malchus, we're getting...
Yes. Right? Good. Good.
Yeah. It's a good cheer. First, you know what happened,
What?
No, the first year on Rabbi from Rabbi Broid was carved.
Yeah.
One of the first years.
Yeah, his machlokas with Rabbi Alman. Okay. So that, okay, good. So in the next paragraph, Hinei Hanogel by Hasamuch Lavo Dazara Shakum Bamin Litaitan Yaniratam and Yesh by Hazedin Shalva Dazara. And he said, okay. So you asked also not just about the church, but you asked about the priest house where they come to discuss religion and learn and read the base medrash for Christianity. He said, that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosvos. Because on the Gemara and Daf Tezayin, the Gemara says in bonim bahem bisalki gardom itstaya uvima bonimam bimasod beit marchatzod peirash Rashi bimasod garsinan binyan she'enu l'tzarach akum umefarish l'kaman berger yishmal v'karan lo altar tiksani bimasod shel akum mutar my bimos shel evan achas u'magim zvachon devi tashmish to tashmish l'akum. So the bimos is the altar, right? That's how Rashi understands it. And Tosfos says, but it's two steps removed, and that's why Rashi said it's not a Zara Mamish. Tosfos says, no. He says, what do you mean? You can't call an altar two steps removed such that it'd be mutter to build an altar for an idolater. An altar is, right?
Yeah, but
it's
two steps removed if it's still an altar? If it's still an altar...
No, it's like it's where they put the, you know, the bimos, right, where they put the, where they do this, the worship. But Tosfos says, what are you talking about? That's where they actually do the worship.
That would be like the church, like it's.
Oh, hold on 1 second. So this is right. So Tosfos says, right. So Tosfos says, now that would clearly be usher. It must be that the gear says dimasot. And it's merchatzot. You can't build anything related to the church whatsoever. You could build bathhouses if you want, right? That's what the gear says, right?
A bathhouse for the church.
Yeah. So, what do you see? That according to Tosfos, what's usher? The church and everything in it. According to Rashi, what's usher? Like, only the part of it where you actually do the worship. Everything else is, you know...
So the church would not be considered...
Church where they did worship, maybe, but like... he's arguing that, like, you know, the base medrash next door where they like advise about it,
right.
That's like two steps removed already. According to Tosfos, presumably the whole complex is a makom avodah zarah, but according to Rashi, that's the other way around. According to Rashi, no, I got that right. Right. According to Rashi, no.
Tosfos says,
I'm very confused. Rashi, it should be going off now.
10 o'clock.
Just turned.
The siren?
About to, 57.
Oh, okay. 57. Okay.
According to Rashi, says the complex, the whole complex would be usher, even the base medrash next door
would not be, right? Because Rashi thinks that already the altar is two steps removed, right?
I thought it was the other.
Yeah. Okay.
So Tosfos find anything involved. So even something that came from that's like
in the church and like the church complex.
What if something about a zara that came up afterwards of it? Okay, so a thing with wigs that you don't get stomped for, you just find to buy a wig. They say it's not good to get because of...
I'm so confused. What are you talking about?
This idea of the things that came that sort of came from avodah zarah, but not exactly. An example like better explain this is that
I'm not getting to the Indian wig machlokas.
Oh, you know what I'm talking. I was getting.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with this? Yeah, I know the Indian wig.
That's from because like the act of shaving the head is avodah zarah, but the hair itself isn't.
No, it is. That would clearly be answered. If that was, in fact, what it was. Lamaskana, it didn't seem like that's exactly what it was, but...
So, that's a case that's all...
That was like... That's like so 10 years ago, man.
The family I was at for Pesach brought it up, and I was like... I was curious as to how...
I remember the rabbi at my parents' show giving sure on that, like, when it first happened, on Shavuos night.
But even the... But the avodah zarah itself is the shaving.
Rabbi,
the
my parents rule always does like a. He does a three part. What he does, which I think is very smart, is to make Shavuos about learning, even for people who can't stay up all night. But like to make it more than just like a one off shear, is that he gives a 3 hour shear so that people actually learn a sugya. He does the first hour 12 to 1 o'clock, like the opening shear Shavuos night, and then an hour between Mincha Maariv on each of the days, right? Because this way, what do people, you know, people always go to one-off shiurim, but he wants Shavuos to be where they, you know, do a little, or ma'amik. So what he does is he does a topic over 3 hours to give people the feel of really learning a sugya in depth. which is so you did it on this, right? Like hair today, gone tomorrow, or something like that. I don't remember.
So the hair even itself.
When in doubt, always burn it.
Exactly.
Life lessons in general. For everything.
So even though the hair itself isn't a avodah zara, it's still.
It's part of a mice avodah zara. That's what it is.
It's like the left egg, the
Lehaver.
Your child is being rebellious.
It's not exactly part of it. The idea of taking it off your head.
Burn it.
Now it's on.
Okay, so. Okay,
wait,
so.
Are you recording this?
What?
Are you recording this?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're gonna have the whole.
Yeah, so. For those who are listening, we stopped for a minute because it's Yom HaShoah and we were stopping for the siren. Okay, fine. Okay. Okay. So. Now, the next thing, this is a sugya we actually didn't do, so let me say this outside a bit. The Gemara on Mem Zayin says that if you have a house, which is, if your house, you know, you live in like a semi-attached house, right? Like, and the other side of your house, right, if my, you know, my attached neighbor wasn't a, you know, a nice Jew from Muncie, but was a... you know,
from Christian.
It was a church, right? A church steeple was my for all the Christians in Efrat. The church steeple is my attached house, and God forbid my wall fell down, the connecting wall. So the halacha is I can't rebuild that wall because now I'm rebuilding the wall of the church.
But you're
right,
the wall.
Now your house is the church.
Yeah. So you have to do is you have to anyway.
We have the reverse in our town. We have the
So the question, right, that I've been asked is, well, how did that happen, right? Meaning, what did you do? How did you end up in this situation? So the answer is, what do you mean? When I moved in, it was a nice guy from Muncie living there, and then he sold it to which he would never do, but you know, if he would, you know, sell it to. The you know they're overflowing from Beit Lechem. They decide, hey, Ephrathah's so far from Beit Lechem. You know, let's you know, it's good tourism. We'll have
are we
a
pushing
new
aside the already problematic thing of giving a goy a Jewish house. We're just getting to the kasha on the mice. That sugya is closer to what the what is Zara. That's why it's coming up.
This is a sugya on Mem Zayin. This is not like closer. This is a sugya on Mem Zayin. Anyways, so. Okay. Fine. So that whole thing is not really the point here. The point is that the Achronim debate Well, what does it mean that that house is a Buddha's art? Does it mean the house is like itself worshipped, right? Like, or does it mean that it is where they put an idol, right? So the Bach thinks that if it's just there's an idol in it, so that's not a base of a desire. But the Shach says, what are you talking about? A house with an idol in it? Who worships a house, right? Right, what we mean is a house with a Vodazara in it. So now he moves from that to the question that he asked, okay, well, what about the house of the priest? Remember, that was how we got to this, right? The church plus the house of the priest. So he says, well, ostensibly, right, if you look on Kuf Pei, look at the third paragraph, he says, V'in elin yin abayit shakomer garbo v'ugamke nechav l'tashmishe v'dazara b'vadash yisra v'dazara l'abayit azeh. He said, look, if the house where the priest lives, yeah, it is a, it's also a house of v'dazara. He said, v'davke shal huk t'abayit l'kav huk t'alakach enu mutra l'mke etc. Let's skip. Okay, now he gets into sort of the details of the sugya, which are interesting. Now there's a machlokas we shown him that the question that about whether in order to make it a desire you actually have to makte it, right, you actually have to designate it as such or not. So just skip down to Kufay Aleph, and he says, well, if he's a bevada bin zan shall buy chakomar garbo din tash mesha bazar mech sheyesh bo bazar bevesa komar bavai hook to lakak. He says, look, there's a bit of a machlokas in Rishonim whether something becomes a base of a desire simply by putting an avod desire in, or only if you actually designate it as like a makom of a desire.
Yeah,
but he said, but that's irrelevant to our shayla because in this case, the house of the priest was Huxalava Dazara, right? Meaning, like, the church gives
like
him his... Yeah, the church gives him his house, and he holds... Right, that's where the base medrash is. Right, that's where he educates people. That's, you know, Sunday school is in his house.
Yeah, but...
Right?
Well, designation, like, you have to say that this is...
No, so he's saying, in this case, it's irrelevant, because that's clearly what it is, right? It's church property.
Right, but can't you see him teaching kids...
But, and but it's not just, like, he happens to do it because he lives there. Like, it's clearly, it's, like, church property.
At this place.
You know, or whatever it is. He says, V'abayit huk t'lekach, v'avadash v'abayit nesar. Right, so for sure it's usur. Okay, now let's skip down. It gets into a lot of interesting lamdus. Wait, Nachum, wait. Oh, okay, so go. I was like, okay. Right, so Rav Ashri assumes that both the church and the house of the priest are makom of avodah zarah, right? Now that's the backdrop. Now that would have been theoretically one avenue for heter, right? I mean, if I could explain that the church or the house of the priest is not a base of avodah zarah, you could go in there, right, without dealing with pikuach nefesh and things like that. But he's not willing to accept that heter, right? He says, no, we're dealing with avodah zarah mamish, right? That's what we are dealing with. Okay? So then the question becomes, right, the real question is, okay, well, what permits allowing to go into such a house? Yeah? Yes?
I have 12 pages.
Yeah?
Yes, I'm holding a thumbs up.
Okay. Okay, so some, you know, we don't have time to get into every bit of the lumdus. Let me... Okay, so as you guys correctly said, so this is why I don't have to get into all the lumdus in the middle. So you remember there was a machlokes, right? When we say on Daf Yud Bet that it is usur even in a case of pikuach nefesh, right, seemingly, right? That's how, it was a machlokes we've shown him. How do you understand that sugya? There's usur even in a case of pikuach nefesh to go into a base of a dezara. When is that true? And we saw that it was a machlokes. Is it that really, like mamish pikuach nefesh? You can't even go into a church, right? Which was summary shown him, right? Or
the idea is that
it's only things which are short of pikuach nefesh, right? As well as the heter that some of the poskim brought up was what? if the context makes it clear that you're not going into the church, right? I mean, if the problem is that Maris Ayin of Odazar is Yehargval Yavor, then there's two ways of solving this problem, right? It's either to say, no, that's not really true, right? The other is to say, even if Maris Ayin of Odazar is Yehargval Yavor, if the context makes it clear that you're not going into a church to worship, and therefore you remove the Maris Ayin problem, I mean, there's two ways of matering going in case of Pikuach Nefesh. Either saying that real Pikuach Nefesh, you can go into a church, right? Or to say that if context makes it clear that it's not Maris Ayin, so then it's not Maris Ayin, so it's not Pikuach Nefesh, right? So it's mutter because it's no longer Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah, right? Those are the two solutions.
This is why we brought up the Hunchback of Notre Dame case, right?
Correct.
Claiming sanctuary
and bidiyuk. Right. So look at the bottom of Kuf Gimel, and he says, "Al kol panim." Right. There were many Rishonim who took this direction, but here it is. Right. In the previous paragraph, he noted this machlokas Rishonim. So now he says, "Al kol panim midivrei hadrisha halalu muchach sheikh sheyesh inyan shebegoch nevesh mutter likanes lebeis avod zara heicha shahakol yodin shekol ikar kniso gedei lahatzel as nafsho miadarot femachrav." The drisha had said that according to everybody, if everybody knows that you're only going to the church to save your life because you're running away, right? They see someone with a gun running at you and you run into the church to stream sanctuary. So then, Mamanav Shachit's Mutter. Right, Nachum? Right, right? We said, right? There's two ways to be Mutter going into the church, right? One is that to follow the Rishonim and Daf Yud Beis, who said that the Gemara is only saying, look, if you're going to be a little bit in danger, you can't go into a church. But if it's Mamish Buach Nevesh, then you are allowed to violate Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah. And the other is to change the context. Right? It's to say, if the context makes it clear that you're going into the church not to worship, but to save your life, right? The guy who's claiming sanctuary, then it's mutter, not because it's not Yarag Val Yavur, but because this isn't Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah, because everyone knows why you're going to the church. So Mela, it's
Ayin of Avodah Zarah is Harav
Elayav. Yeah, that was the Sugan Yud Beis. Remember, the Sugan Yud Beis. Right? You can't drink. That's exactly the point. Right? Okay. So he says, but therefore, im kain benidon didan, vada shemotar la, ikon is a basic rasam yilat and lashes yon goes al shenish bibiyat akam. Says, in this case, obviously it's mutter. Why? Everybody knows where you're going.
Yeah, you're not
right?
Going to
right? Right? Yeah. Once you say that as long as you change the context enough such that everyone looking at it could plausibly figure out what it is you're doing.
Here, there's no moratorium involved because everyone knows you're going.
Correct. He says you see a bunch of people who just came out of Auschwitz, right, knocking on the priest's door.
What are all these Jews doing at this church?
Right. Jeez. Right. Everybody knows why they're there. Right. They're not there because they lost faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Holocaust and think that the solution is to go back to their town in Europe and to convert by the local priest.
Yeah,
right.
That's
everybody knows that's what's happening.
Also,
right.
The last thing on everyone's mind after that war.
Right. And he says for sure. Right. And he says. He said, look, for sure going into the house of the priest, which, as we noted, is not clear, right? Meaning, he said, I could construct an argument that the house of the priest, right, is a base of Avodah Zarah. But first of all, it's not totally clear. And second of all, if he's going to the guy's house, right, even if someone might think you're going to the church to convert, no one thinks that the guy who, right, still who came straight out of Auschwitz and came back to his to his hometown and knocks on the priest's door, no one's going to say, oh, he's knocking on the priest's door, so the priest can take him next door, right, and educate him in Christianity and convert and baptize him, right? Everyone understands that he's knocking on the priest's door to save a child.
Wouldn't the flips? What would the flip side be doing? Wouldn't they be doing that with that example, though?
What?
The flips, like the some people stayed, became more enlightened or stayed religious. Others flopped and lost.
Others
and lost
faith.
Jewish right?
Right. So then,
so
and then
that example
here,
happen then.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's skip down to Kuf Bey Dalet, the bottom of the God. Again, there's some nuances here, guys.
Just because they lost their from kind of Judaism doesn't mean they necessarily converted.
Okay, so actually, you know what? Right before that. And then he gives another svara. Guys. And then he gives another svara. And he says, I give you another reason why it's mutter. Why? Because you're not, this is not Pikuach Nefesh. It's more than Pikuach Nefesh. What is this? Why are you going in?
What? Other than the fact that you're saving the life of your child?
Oh, so you're not going to save his life. What are you doing?
Going in to stop him from being Christian.
Are you saying this is more than Pikuach Nefesh? She's going to live. But what are you doing? You're going to violate a Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah, but why? to save your child from being an Ovid of a desire for life. Right? He said, even if you thought. Right? He's like, if... this isn't just because nefesh, right? He says, look at the top of Kofi Dalit. He says, im kain al achas kama v'kama shishlat v'nita didana. Ha'knisa l'veis yirasim v'dehatzel nafshos tamuz. U'tamuz t'mimuz mishmaru kilayon. He said, if there are poskim who say that for pikuach nefesh you can go into the church, right? This is what? Yeah, I mean, this is saving someone from a desara. So, yeah, even if you think that you have to give up your life rather than violate Marasayin of Odezara.
Surely you can do that.
You can violate Marasayin of Odezara to save children from being Ovdei of Odezara for life. Right? Think about the Cheshbon here. Right? He says, Sharei HaKomrim, Atua, like, you know, could I love it? Tamei Adav Shosem, Ataros, Bechel, Adav Odezara. I mean, what? Do you understand the irony? What? The Marasayin of Odezara is going to be the tool that the priests use to keep your children as Christians, right? That's logical. He did lavir al don l'archingu v'kor machzav damit kashu l'shaim Yisrael asher bo yivar tzirav go aleinu bevadash chol kfulam mechupelas aleinu livdok bechol achorin stakim shvei razim. He said you go into the church and search every nook and cranny.
Is this only a vaday
in the end? Well, in the end,
he said, what are you talking about? Yeah. He said, find them at Eretz Yisrael b'nei el chai k'dei tinokos shelo tamu tamchei lifnei shenafu b'yachavim. You're talking about pure children, right? They never sinned. It wasn't their fault. Right? Your chash of a marisayin of a desire is going to allow you to leave these poor children to be over the desire? Are you out of your mind? Right? So now he says, so he makes the argument in this paragraph and he says, look, so what's his svara? So yeah, actually, let's just look at his conclusion. Says Ran Kufehe. He says, look, Im Kane, Benidon Didon, Vade Ha Kol Yodim, Shakol Ikar Kavanas Yehudim Halalu Beknisasan Lesa Yerach Algoyim, Lahatzel Nafshus Misrael Shalim Chunacham Lesadukim Vazchalam. He says, everyone knows where you're going. It's to save your children from being Ovde Odezara. Abba Vivada Yala Dashal Mishu Lachshot Chasham Shihudim Halalu Nafshus Misrael Bide Lavo Chem of Odezara. Nobody is looking and saying, oh, you're going in to serve in the church. So he says, look, I have two reasons for it. One, well, let's say three, right? One is, real Pikuach Nevesh might push aside Marasayin of Odezara. That's one machlokas, right? Right? Right, Marasayin of Odezara, it's in machlokas whether that is Pikuach Nevesh or not. Two, that this isn't regular Pikuach Nevesh. Right, because even if you argue that pikuach nefesh of marasayin is overrides pikuach nefesh, marasayin of odezara overrides pikuach nefesh.
This is
saving this is children from worshiping of odezara at the cost of marasayin of odezara. Right, like that cheshbon should be pretty straightforward.
Right.
Three is that this isn't marasayin of odezara because the context makes it clear that you're going to the church not to convert to Christianity, but to save children from living Christian lives. Right? So those are the three basic prongs of his argument. And he says, no one should think otherwise. Therefore, we should paskin. You should do everything in your power to get into those churches and find those children. And then he ends his paragraph. Said, I put my money where my mouth is. I did it myself. I went to that.
This is the Rav?
This is Rav Ashri. I went to that Lithuanian priest. And thank God I was able to save many, many children. And I saved them.
For other kids as well.
Yeah. He said, and I went and I saved these children, and now they're in Israel. And they keep the Torah. for all purposes. V'chein asu rabim v'gam shleimim. And he said many people did this. Sha'azru oz la'atzel yedilim v'shvuyim ben ha'akum la'ashiv l'mechek imam v'yiratzen shigamanu mashanemar v'heishiv leiv banim v'chulei. So I hope that this tshuva, as you saw, by the way, first of all, I want a few points. First, on the not Holocaust theme, okay, for a moment. First, I want you to realize how much you guys actually recall from what you learned this year, which I'm very impressed, right? You knew where he was going. You didn't remember everyone in the car, right? Even after a month break, but you remember, right? This was Rosh Lichtenstein, you know, was used to say this, right? That even if you forget much of what you learn, right? As long as when you go back to a sugya, like, you remember the basic chakiros and you can get back into it easily, right? Not everyone has a perfect memory and remembers every sheet that, but if you learn the sugya, chazer sugya well enough, right, such that you're conversant, and when you see the sugya, you're like, oh, these are the basic questions that people are going to ask, right? So you see, right, you've walked away with something, right? That should be your minimum goal when you walk away with the sugya, and Baruch Hashem, you see that you saw how where he was going. Okay, that's point one. Point two is, as I said, I think you see a few things from this tshuva, right? Besides the sugya, right? Again, you see A, right? How much the Holocaust, right, didn't end in 1945, right? I mean, this tshuva, you read the question and you learn so much about, right? You realize for a moment
they were still alive,
right? Meaning these are parents who, yeah, like, you waited years to survive. You hope your children survived, right? You think it's all over, and then, right, you return to your hometown to find the children and the priest who you entrusted your child with
doesn't want to.
Right, and I would add, a lot of people probably knew that was a possibility. Right, do you understand the pain? Right, and that's what he writes in the question, is how painful it was that people, right, they were stuck between either taking the kids with them and them almost definitely dying.
The question is, how can you give up your kids in the first place?
Ah, right. So that's the question he doesn't get into. Right? Was this mutter in the first place? Right?
It's a purposeful omission, no?
But good.
You're giving your kids.
Hold
on a second.
So I'm gonna guess it's a purposeful omission. Why? Right. Think about it.
Politics.
Why?
Because it was clearly usser, in his opinion. Therefore, if it was mutter, he would have said it was mutter. But it was usser, and therefore he's not going to see anything because it already happened.
So I don't know whether he thought it was mutter or usser, but the point is, yeah, these are people, right? But Ephraim's right, right? I always say this. Psak is politics in the high sense of the word, right? Meaning it's about persuasion. No one was asking him now, what I did 6 years ago, was that mutter? Right, that's not what they're asking.
Right.
But remember, he's dealing with people who have enough emunah that they aren't just running into the priest's house to save their children. They're asking a shaila first, right? Right, which again is a testament to how much, right, to the strength of commitment that certain people had. That person, right? Like, be in Rav Asher's shoes for a second. Right? You have someone who went through Auschwitz, right? And now asks you, I think my child might be alive. Am I allowed to go look for him? Or is that usher? You're not turning to the person who has that much emunah and saying, well, first, before we start, I just want to know, you shouldn't have done this in the first place. It was usher. What is wrong with you? Right? Like it was a hard situation, right? Mutter, usher, at this point, right? What's done is done.
Right.
At this point, the question is, you're dealing with a person that clearly has a tremendous amount of emunah, and Gemin Dalacha is asking you this shayla now, right? Empathize and answer the shayla, right? Don't go back and guilt the guy coming out of Auschwitz who kept his faith and tell him, you know, maybe you should have known this was going to happen. Right? Like, I'm sure that was entering their heads now, right? I'm sure that part of their shayla is, I'm sure that part of emotionally is, maybe I shouldn't have done this, right? Maybe, right, when, right, at the end, when they see, right, A, at the beginning, they might have known this was happening, and Kal v'chomer now, that the priest is hiding their children, right? Might be thinking, you know, did I make a mistake?
Was it a chishash or was it like mamish?
I'm sure they didn't know.
Did they know the priest was going to...
They didn't know. I'm sure they said, you know, take care of my child, you know, let him know he's Jewish, right? But now they're looking back and saying, you know, what did I do? Right?
Right.
Rav Ashi doesn't... Right, he doesn't,
he's
like...
not worried about
this. That's how, you know, right? But he says, look, I have good people who are now asking me this shayla.
Yeah.
Right? Kol hakavod for asking. right? And then he says to them what? He says, it's mutter.
Not only is it
right?
mutter, but I did
it's
it
mutter. He said, I did it himself, which rhetorically is such a powerful thing to say, right? Which is, right, don't just, I'm not just telling you it's mutter to make you feel good, right? I did it. Right, and again, why did he do it? And he said, because obviously. He said, A, it's not clear that Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah is actually Pikuach Nefesh. B, even if it was, this isn't Pikuach Nefesh. The question here is Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah versus allowing poor children to remain over the Avodah Zarah. Right? And the third is, as he said,
might not even be Maris Ayin.
Correct, but, and I want you to hear, just to note something, right, that there's the halachic point here, which is everyone knows what's happening, but there's also, right, you wanted to learn about the history of the Holocaust? What's he telling you? Why isn't there Maris Ayin? Because this was so common. Right? I mean, I want you to think for a moment what's behind the halachic argument. Right? What's he saying? This isn't that it happened to one person. If it happened to one person, maybe there'd be Maris Ayin. But he said, he happened so commonly that everybody knows that when you go to that priest, right, they're looking around. It's not, right? Right? It's one of those things. He doesn't spell it out. Right? But you realize, he's saying, of course there's no Maris Ayin. Why? Because unfortunately, this isn't one family. Hundreds, thousands of people are going through the same thing, that the whole world knows why you're there. Right? Which on the one hand provides the heter, but on the other hand is terrifying. When you're thinking of the fallout in the Holocaust, you realize that it's...
It is terrifying, but it's also, there was millions of kids.
Oh no, in a Hanami, you know, in a Hanami. But that's, my point is that like I said, I wanted to do this Shaila because it bridges hard, yeah, between right the reality of learning a little bit of the Holocaust and the way it particularly manifests itself right in sugyas that we've learned, and you see how, you know, the sugyas that we've learned, yeah, they can manifest themselves in a nice question of can I go on vacation, right? But they also have really painful consequences, which is also why when, you know, I take halacha seriously and I want you to, like, you know, understand the consequences. You know, like, Donnie's not here for what's the point, right? 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 The point is that halacha has serious consequences, right? And the consequences of that sugya and daf yud bet, this could be the consequence, right? Halacha has real life implications. When you hear Shiloh like this, you realize that's the point, right? That's the point, right? Okay, we have our speaker, but I hope this gives you, succeeded in doing a little bit of bridging both.